Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our confessional address this evening is written in the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 35. Let us rise for the reading of these words. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. These are God's words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, I remember my first cell phone. It was about the size of a shoebox, had a big wet cell battery, and it weighed 8 pounds, something like that. But it was there to make sure that people would be ready. I got it because we were having an every member visit, and we had about, 150, 200 families, maybe a little more than that, to visit. And the idea is, you know how it is. You go to for a 15 or 20 minute or a half hour visit, and with some people, you really need to be there an hour. And with others, it's, hi, how you doing? Things are great. We have a devotion and on our way. This way, we could call ahead and say, I'm just 10 minutes away, and they could be ready. I have to confess that I have also been one of those people who uses the cell phone when I'm 3 minutes away, say, hi, Deborah, I'm on my way home. I don't know why. It's not like I expect her to get out the slippers and the paper and the easy chair. That's not what that's for. But at least she's ready for me to be home. When the kids were little, that was a little different. She was ready for the handoff when you have three kids under in preschool. When I was growing up, we never used phones like that. We never used long distance. It was too expensive. It cost 35 cents in long distance charges to call the Mapes house, whose house we could see from our back door. And if we're visiting somebody far away, we sent them a letter. You know, it took 4 days for the letter to get to Kansas, which was about the only place we ever went. That's where my grandparents lived. And we'll be there about, July 5th, maybe? Okay, it might be the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere in there. And especially in the spring, we'd go over the Rockies from California, and we might take 2 extra days. We never got on the phone. And so they had to be ready for that whole stretch of time, not knowing when we were going to come. One time, Deborah and I we went up to visit our folks who were on a pack trip in the High Cascades. No way to communicate with them. And so we just went off in the mountains toward where we thought they were, and sure enough, we found them. But without any warning, there's no way they could be ready for us. We had to bring our own tent, sleeping bags, food, everything else, because they could not be ready for us. You're getting a kind of a theme here, I would think, by now. Go back further to the Pilgrims, their second autumn. A whole shipload of largely destitute colonists arrived to tax their dwindling food supplies. No calling ahead there. And therefore, pretty hard to be ready. And then, of course, there are the tragedies that occur in life that come unannounced. Pearl Harbor, 9/11, the whole purpose of that suddenness and surprise was to catch us unready. In our text for today, Jesus uses two examples of readiness. In the first one, it's a wedding. And that seems to be something that Jesus uses quite a bit. Because a wedding is something you can really look forward to. And although there's a date set, the way that they worked it is, well, it was kind of like our trips to Kansas. You didn't know when you were going to leave the last place, and you didn't know exactly when you were going to be home. It might be in the first watch, second watch, third watch of the night. And what an interesting thing. He says that if you're ready for the bridegroom to come, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Well, that's an upside down picture for that time in the world. How many times would you expect the bride and groom to show up and start slinging hash? Yeah, we expect that the feast is going to be something provided. But Jesus is saying, if you're ready when I come, I'm going to have something wonderful for you. So that's kind of the positive side. There's a contrasting side. There's the negative side, too. He talks about a home invasion. And if the son of the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So he uses examples also to convey to you and me this point, this theme. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, this comes in Luke's account here after Jesus has been dwelling on what is really important. Okay? Now, what does that mean? That means he's saying, this is important. And not only is that important, this is really important. Not, you think that's important? Well, let me tell you about this. And there's this ascending importance that Jesus is talking about here. He warns against hypocrisy. Because with a hypocrite, what God's word says isn't really important enough to govern the heart or the life of that person. Jesus tells us that our immortal souls are more important than stuff, than possessions, even than our lives. And then he goes on. He warns about worry, which elevates concern for the things of this earth above eternal welfare. And he warns against complacency, this whole idea that we enjoy life and forget that we have an appointment with Judgment Day. And that's when he says, make sure all of those things I talked about is important. You realize they are important so that you will be ready when I come. What do you mean ready? Well, what it means is pretty simple. Are you ready to stand before the judgment of God that will include or exclude people from heaven? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to stand under the judgment of God, where he says that all of those who have done good will enter into everlasting life, all of those who have done evil will enter into everlasting condemnation. Are you ready for that? Well, he tells us how to use time so that we will be ready. Here we are at ready to turn a calendar tonight from 2013 to 2014. And we're reminded that 2013 has been another year of grace. Another year in which God has given us, given the whole human race, everything we need to be ready. Not just ready to turn the page in the calendar, but ready for his coming again in glory, which can be at any moment. He's given us his word. He's given us his sacraments to build up and preserve our faith. He's given us his doctrines, the teachings of the scriptures to preserve us from error that is so spiritually deadly and can make us unready. And he's given us the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament to provide us with what? The forgiveness of sins, the righteousness that prepares us for God's return. For when he comes, if we possess pure and perfect righteousness, then we are invited into heaven. And you know where we can get some. You know where that pure and perfect righteousness comes from. And now there's a righteousness, he tells us in Romans 4, 3 and 4. He says, that's not from the law. It's not because you've been so good at keeping those commandments. But there's a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's the righteousness that Jesus lived out. To be ready is to have such a perfect righteousness that God wants us in heaven. Such a perfect righteousness that we're among those that he says, those good people, those who have done good, will enter into everlasting life. And that righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus. There are going to be two ways that people receive the coming of Jesus. There are going to be some who are unready. And there are some who will be ready. There will be those who mourn, who cry, who wail, because they sense the judgment that is upon them. And then there are going to be those who say, at last, at last, at last. As Jesus says, Matthew 24, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And there will also be those, he says in chapter 21, they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. I'm not going to ask you how you used your time in 2013 to be sure that you're ready, to be sure that you are among those who will be happy and rejoice and glad when the Lord comes, as he definitely will. Either at the end of the age, if that should happen, and it could any minute, or certainly at the hour of our death. I won't ask you how you used your time in 2013, but I can tell you that every hour that you live in the year to come is also a year of grace. It's time that you can use also to be ready. Use it to increase your faith. How do you do that? Abide in God's word. Use it to stand before God in forgiveness and righteousness. Confess your sins. Receive the gospel and his holy absolution and the word of the gospel and in the sacraments. Because through them, his forgiveness is given to you. And possessing his forgiveness, your slate is wiped clean. And by faith, you also possess the righteousness of Christ. In 2014, beware of anything that's going to get you sidetracked. Is it possessions? Is it, you know, things I want? Do I got to have my way kind of stuff? It's all those things that Jesus warned us about. Don't get tied up with hypocrisy. That is, don't ignore God's word and what it says about the way you're to believe and to live your life. Don't get stuck on possessions. And don't get complacent. Don't ever think that all these things we're talking about here just aren't so important. Because they are. Beware of anything that gets you sidetracked then. So, build up your faith in the word. Receive the forgiveness for your sins. Don't get sidetracked. And that's it. Do that. And because of God's grace, you will be ready. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.